Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this session about SharePoint and jQuery. I hope, since you're all in this session, that you know a little bit about SharePoint and you know a little bit about jQuery. It's not my goal to actually teach you all about SharePoint 2010 or everything about jQuery, but it's my goal to show you some pretty nice scenarios how SharePoint and jQuery can actually work together to make your life as a developer hopefully a little bit easier. What is the agenda for the session in this afternoon? Well, first of all, I'm going to try to convince you guys and girls that it is a good idea to make use of jQuery inside SharePoint 2010 by talking about some scenarios and the advantages that you will have. Then, of course, we're going to see how you can actually enable jQuery in your SharePoint sites. I will go over all the options that you've got over there, like hosting jQuery inside SharePoint, outside SharePoint, stuff like that. The next thing that we need to do is we need to think about how we can actually host our own JavaScript scripts that are using jQuery in our SharePoint sites. And when we have those skills, we can actually start to fun, let's say, and I will show you some scenarios. I will show you, for example, how you can make use of the client object model of SharePoint 2010 in combination with jQuery. I will show you an example of a pretty nice jQuery plugin. I will explain later on what that actually is. And to finish off, I will show you even more integration. I will show how you can make use of jQuery together with the dialog framework of SharePoint 2010. Now, I have to warn you already that these are not all the scenarios that you can think about related to jQuery and SharePoint. I just picked a couple of them. Hopefully, after this session, you've got an idea what is possible and you extend everything that you've learned in your own SharePoint site, of course. So, first of all, why is it a good idea to make use of jQuery in your SharePoint sites? Well, if we take one step back and think about sites in general, not only SharePoint sites, I think we can see a trend that sites are getting richer and richer like every day. How do they do that? They do that by making use of techniques like Silverlight and the competitors of Silverlight, and they do that by making use of JavaScript. And just to give you an idea about what I'm talking about, if you just navigate, for example, to our Microsoft site, you will notice in a couple of seconds, this is a very clean site. It has some nice animations if you click on stuff without postbacks. Probably you would like to be able to build sites like this as well. And if you're a SharePoint developer or a SharePoint user, you would like to be able to build sites that behave like this on top of the SharePoint technology. But if you have tried so, maybe you have encountered some challenges, as I would like to call them. In case you are using JavaScript without jQuery, that is, quite often you need to write quite a lot of plumbing code, repetitive code, to get things up and running. If you have developed JavaScript, maybe you know that it's not a fantastic developer's experience because JavaScript is not really compiled, so you don't have that complete syntax checking before you try it in your browser, stuff like that. Of course, you can. It gets better when you make use of Visual Studio, for example, but it's not up to the same level as, let's say, writing C# code. Another thing that that is quite important nowadays is cross-browser compatibility. It happens to be that not all the big browsers implement JavaScript the same way. So if you start writing JavaScript, you need to make sure that your scripts are compatible with other browsers than Internet Explorer or maybe the browsers that you're using inside your organization. And jQuery can help you quite a bit by simplifying all those tasks. Very basically said, jQuery will simplify first of all the JavaScript that you need to write, so less code, let's say it's always better, less mistakes. And if you write jQuery code or JavaScript using jQuery, of course it will be cross-browser compatible just out of the box. Hopefully, you're now all convinced that it's a very good idea to make use of jQuery in SharePoint. And to get up to speed with jQuery in SharePoint, you need to think about two things. First of all, you need to think about, okay, how can I actually host jQuery in SharePoint? How can I make sure that jQuery can be used, can be referenced inside inside my SharePoint pages. The second thing that you need to do is you actually need to make that reference from the pages running in SharePoint where you would like to make use of jQuery. Now, this may sound a little bit difficult or a little bit boring, but it's actually really not. And to prove that to you, if I navigate to the jQuery website, I can show you what jQuery actually is. This is the public jQuery website. If you click download jQuery, you're actually going to download one single JavaScript file. So that's a JavaScript file that should be deployed to a location that can be used by your SharePoint pages, so they can actually reference it. So what are the options to host jQuery? As I already mentioned in the intro, there are two options. Either you host jQuery inside of SharePoint, or you host it outside of SharePoint. And once again, if you host it in SharePoint, you have two more options. So quite a lot of options to think about, but I'll summarize later on. If you choose to host jQuery, if you choose to put the jQuery JavaScript file inside SharePoint, you can do that in the virtual file system, or you can do that in the physical file system. For the people that are not up to speed with the terminology of SharePoint 2010, what is the virtual file system? Well, that's basically everything that you put inside the content database of SharePoint. So that is everything you put inside the document library, or everything that you put inside the folder in your SharePoint site, maybe using the SharePoint designer, stuff like that. Basically, everything that you can upload through the web user interface goes automatically inside the virtual file system. What is the physical file system? Well, that's everything that is coming from, as the name suggests, the physical file system of your SharePoint server. And typically, you will notice that that content is prefixed with a piece of URL that is named underscore layouts. And if you know a little bit about SharePoint, this is a very famous folder. Underscore layouts is mapped to C program files, common files, Microsoft Shared, web server extensions, 14. And then a little bit further on, you will actually find the layout folder where you can find a bunch of files that can just get referenced by making use of underscore layouts in the URL of a SharePoint site. Both techniques have advantages and disadvantages. The first advantage that I can mention when you actually host jQuery in the physical file system is the fact that you only need to deploy it once to the physical file system, and from that point in time, pretty much from everywhere in your SharePoint environment, you can just add a reference to it that it can be downloaded. The virtual file system, compared to the physical file system, is scoped to the level of a SharePoint site. So every site has its own, let's say, virtual file system. So if you would like to make use of jQuery in, let's say, 200 sites, it could be that you have to deploy jQuery.js 200 times to those 200 SharePoint sites. Of course, there are some techniques to put it inside a site collection instead of a site. But that's the first differentiator, let's say. Now, another reason to choose between the virtual or the physical file system could be the fact that you can target the physical file system with a SharePoint solution. You can also target the virtual file system with a SharePoint solution, but you can also target the virtual file system by making use of a sandboxed solution. A sandbox solution is a new thing that we introduced in SharePoint 2010. That will very basically said allow you to deploy a solution, an installation package, a SharePoint installation package that is, to the level of a site collection. What's the advantage of that? The advantage is that, if you deploy to one site collection, there is no risk that you impact another site collection on the same server. Also, sandbox solutions can be deployed without the interference of a real system administrator, so you just need to be site collection administrator to be able to do so. If you think about the cloud scenario, I'm pretty sure you've heard about Office 365 already a couple of times today. Sandbox solutions can be deployed to Office 365 sites, Office 365 SharePoint sites, that is, and if I've got some time at the end, I'll actually show you that. So it may be a very good idea nowadays to choose to make use of the virtual file system to deploy your jQuery library. I will show you some examples about that in my very first demo. Let's briefly talk about hosting jQuery outside of the context of SharePoint. That's basically putting that JavaScript file on another site than SharePoint. And you may be wondering, what's the advantage of doing that kind of stuff? Well, if that other site would be your own site, I don't think there's a real advantage. But it happens to be that jQuery is hosted by some third parties on the internet. For example, Microsoft is hosting jQuery on what we call the Ajax Content Delivery Network. So basically what you get is a URL from which jQuery can be downloaded, so you don't have to host jQuery inside your own SharePoint site. That's straight away the first advantage, so that you don't have to think about deploying jQuery yourself. The second advantage may be, especially if you're building public websites on top of SharePoint, that if you reference jQuery from the content delivery network from Microsoft, for example, or from some other companies, it can be cached by your web browsers on all the client machines. And if multiple sites point to the same URL for downloading jQuery, it only has to be downloaded once. So it can be a performance, good for the performance. That's probably the second reason. Of course, hosting jQuery outside of SharePoint, like on the content delivery network, can also be a challenge for you because you are going to assume that people will have access to that location to download jQuery. Imagine that you're running SharePoint 2010 as an intranet. If you reference jQuery coming from the content delivery network from Microsoft, you will assume that all your clients have access to that internet location. Maybe that is not true in all companies. Of course, that's not a real issue anymore when you're talking about public websites, because by default, if people have access to a public website, they will have access to the internet, of course. If you've never seen that content delivery network, let me just navigate to it. I've included the URL in my slide deck. All bunch of libraries are hosted over there. Let's go to jQuery, and as you can see, this is just a URL that you can make use of to reference jQuery. So if you would like to include it in a page, you can just copy-paste this URL, pretty basic. Cool. Now, the next thing that I actually would like to show you... Oh, sorry, I forgot one slide. How do you actually reference jQuery? Just a JavaScript file, so somewhere in your page, you need to have the first line that you can see over there. You have a script with a source attribute that points to the jQuery location, and it's a JavaScript file. How do you get that reference in your SharePoint pages? Well, there are actually, or probably, four things that you can do. First thing that you can do is you can put that single line inside your master page in SharePoint. If you, once again, know a little bit about SharePoint, you probably know that every page that is being rendered in SharePoint is making use of a master page. And if you actually change that master page, all the pages that make use of it are changed straight away as well. So it's like a technique to propagate changes in a very, very easy way. Master pages, for people that don't know it, are coming from ASP.NET. So it's not the real SharePoint technique. It's also used in non-SharePoint sites, let's say. You can also do it with a delegate control in SharePoint 2010. That's a technique that can be used by SharePoint developers. And what is a delegate control? Well, it's actually an ASP.NET control that is being used by SharePoint sites, and which can be enabled by making use of a feature. So once again, a feature is a SharePoint development technique that will make it very, very easy to quickly enable or disable certain customizations. And in this case, such a customization created by a developer can be adding a reference to jQuery or removing that reference to jQuery. So that's a technique that you can use for sure. Another thing that you can do is, what I call ad hoc referencing jQuery. For example, if you're building a web part or if you're building an application page, if you're building a site page, a dialog, I couldn't care less. You can always make use of the registration of a script block to reference jQuery. So you can always insert that little piece of JavaScript in this, typically the server-side code that that you're going to write. Final thing that you can do is you can make use of a custom action. What is a custom action? Very basically said, it's a small piece of XML wrapped inside a feature that also adds the reference to jQuery, and actually show you that one in just a second. Why do I pick that one? Because I really like the custom action option. Why do I like the, referencing jQuery by making use of the custom action? Well, this is a technique that will also work with sandbox solutions. So this is a technique that will also work on Office 365 in the cloud. You can also make a change to a master page in Office 365 in the cloud. But getting that custom master page deployed or changing that master page over and over again is maybe not a very, very good idea. Can be done, but I'm not a very big fan of it. So if you are planning to deploy to the cloud, or maybe you're not yet planning to deploy to the cloud, but you would like to keep it open as an option, I would suggest that you also go for that custom action approach. It's not very difficult to do, and that's actually my first demo that I would like to show you. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to open up Visual Studio, and let's just create a new project. Let's go for an empty SharePoint project. Let's say dev days jQuery. There we go. I'm going to deploy to a local SharePoint site, and let's go for that sandbox solutions approach. So eventually we will be able to make use of this solution also in the cloud. Let's hit finish. And in a second, we've got a brand new, completely empty SharePoint solution. As you can see, nothing in my sleeves. And what we need to do now is we need to, deploy jQuery. We need to make sure that jQuery is added to the sites in which we would like to make use of it. I'm going to choose to deploy jQuery inside the context of SharePoint, option one, using the virtual file system, option 1A, let's say, if you remember the slide discussing the four different options for hosting jQuery. How can we put stuff inside the virtual file system by making use of a solution, a sandbox solution, inside Visual Studio 2010? Well, we just need to add a new item. Oops. Sorry, I hit escape. That was not my goal. Let's open up the Solution Explorer once again. And there we go. We add a new item, and the item type that I'm going to add is over here a module. Let's call this module, for example, scripts. There we go. And when you create a module inside Visual Studio, Visual Studio is as nice to add a sample file to it with the very exciting name sample.txt. If you deploy this solution already at this point in time, in the virtual file system of SharePoint, a new folder will be created with the name scripts. And in that folder, you will actually find a file called sample.txt. I don't want to deploy sample.txt, so I'm going to remove it. And you can see that the XML of my feature actually changes on the fly. And what I can do, for example, now is I can actually copy the jQuery library, the JS file. I already downloaded it like this, and that's it. jQuery is now deployed into the virtual file system of SharePoint. Now, copying jQuery like this feels a little bit old-fashioned, especially after seeing the keynote this morning. I don't know if you guys attended the keynote this morning, but Scott actually showed a pretty nice feature, or no, it's not a feature, a pretty nice project called NuGet, which is like a package manager. And it happens to be that you can also add a reference to jQuery by making use of NuGet. So let's get rid of this old-fashioned stuff for the people that have never heard about NuGet. Just browse to NuGet.org. And you can see that NuGet is a Visual Studio extension that makes it easy to install and update open source libraries and tools in Visual Studio. I already installed this thing. It's free, open source, in my Visual Studio. So what I can do now is I can add a reference. And I'm going to add a reference to a library package coming from NuGet. And I can look it up online. and hopefully my internet connection is going to work with me. As you can see, I can just pick jQuery. Let's install it. Let's click close. And as you can see, as a result, jQuery is actually automatically put inside that script folder. So it's a very good idea to make use of scripts as the name of your module, because if you deploy jQuery using NuGet, that's the name that's actually being used. Works pretty nice together. Another thing that you may notice over here is that you actually have two files. You've got jQuery -152.js and jQuery -152min.js. That's the minified version of that JavaScript file. It's not a compressed file, but you will notice that all the line breaks have been removed. All the unnecessary characters have been removed. So this file is totally not readable for a human. I can actually open it up. You can see this long line at the bottom is actually jQuery. If I open up this one, it's more readable for a human, let's say. Why do they include the big JavaScript file? This is nice for debugging, because you can step through and you can actually see what's happening. I'm going to assume I'm not going to make any mistakes in my demo, so very briefly, I'm going to remove the debug version of jQuery. There we go. That's, let's say, 50% of getting jQuery available in your SharePoint sites, making it available, in this case, in the virtual file system of my SharePoint sites. The second thing that I need to do is I need to make sure that jQuery is being loaded inside my SharePoint pages. Remember, I was a fan of the custom action approach. So let's add a new custom action to this project. You can do that in an empty element. Let's call this custom actions. Doesn't matter how you call it. And now we need to add a little bit of XML, and let me grab it from my toolbox. So this is the XML that we need to have. I'm going to add a custom action. That will add a reference to jQuery. Of course, I need to grab the name of my JS file. Let's put it over here. Okay. I'm going to say I would like to add a reference to script link. That is a reserved name in SharePoint that will add your script reference totally, well, not totally, but almost at the top of the HTML that is being rendered. And quite important, you can give a specific sequence to your custom action. Why is that sequence important? Well, if you've got multiple custom actions that will be targeting the script link location, the sequence is going to determine the order in which they will be added. And of course, if you write a custom script, you would like to make sure that your custom script is loaded after jQuery. Otherwise, you will not be able to make use of jQuery. So your custom script needs to have a sequence that's higher, in this case, than, well, one. Okay. One small thing that I need to mention over here is the fact that I'm adding a reference to jQuery, and I'm actually going to make use of this token. You see this pretty strange character, the tilde, I don't know how it's called in English, site collection. This will always become the URL of your site collection. So I'm only going to deploy it once, let's say, to my SharePoint environment in the top of the site collection. So far, so good, or at least I think so far, so good. Let's deploy and let's verify. Deploy started. Solution is being added. You can follow the very exciting progress at the bottom of my screen. Deploy succeeded. And if I navigate to my SharePoint site, the site that you will see in a couple of seconds is a pretty clean SharePoint team site. I'm very sure you recognize it straight away. And you will also see straight away that it's now running jQuery. No, of course you don't see that straight away. I'm going to show you the source of the HTML that is being rendered. That will actually include a reference to jQuery. So this is my fantastic SharePoint team site. If I go to view source, if everything went okay, as you can see over here, we've got the reference to jQuery that has been added automatically. Okay, cool. Of course, this is where the fun should start. If you just add a reference to jQuery, it there's not a lot of magic stuff that is going to happen. You should add your own custom scripts that will actually make use of jQuery. And let me quickly jump back to my slides and talk about how you can actually make use of your own custom scripts that make use of jQuery in SharePoint. And the good news is we already know this because it's the same as hosting jQuery itself, except for the content delivery network option. I'm not very sure if Microsoft or any other company is willing to host your fantastic JavaScript file as well. If it is, very good for you. But probably if you write custom JavaScript files, you need to host them yourself. And let me show that off in the next very, very basic demo. So what I'm going to do, let's create a new SharePoint project. Say dev days, custom scripts, whatever. And I'm going to use exactly the same approach as I used in a couple of seconds. A couple of seconds ago. So I'm going to add a module that we call scripts. We don't like sample, so let's get rid of it. And instead, let's add a new JavaScript file. Let's call it devdaysdemo.js. There we go. And of course, we need to add a new custom action inside an empty element. There we go. Remember the small XML snippet that I had to copy and paste. I'm going to use it again now to add a reference to devdaysdemo.js. Now let's say we're going to make use of sequence 150. So the result will be that my custom JavaScript file will be deployed to my SharePoint environment, and it will be referenced later than the jQuery library is being referenced. Now, of course, not a lot of stuff is going to happen over here in my empty JavaScript file. Just to give my mind some rest, to stop worrying, the thing that I always do is quickly test if everything is working by displaying a very exciting hello world message. We can do that in jQuery like this. I'm going to make use of the document ready function, which I'm going to write some code like this. What is the document ready function? Well, the result is that this JavaScript is actually called after that your HTML in the browser has been loaded completely. Sometimes when you write JavaScript, you have some issues to delay it, so it only gets executed when SharePoint is completely, when the HTML is completely loaded. With jQuery, you can solve that very easily. Let's say over here we've got alert OK, like this. Let's deploy this. Okay, fantastic. I was expecting to see alert. Did I make a typo over here? Scripts. Dev days demo. Should be okay. One very nice tool that I would like to point out is Fiddler. It's an HTTP debugger that will monitor everything that happens inside your browser. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hit a refresh. Probably I was a little bit too quick. I was probably hitting F5 before the deployment process on my server was finished. So next time I should be talking a little bit longer before I hit F5. And make me remind that. Anyway, thank you, Fiddler, for starting up. So every time that I now hit a SharePoint page, you will actually notice that I've got that very exciting OK message that will be displayed. Now, I know the TechDays audience is a little bit critical, so I know I won't impress you by making use of this OK message. Therefore, I would like to replace this OK message with slightly more JavaScript code, just to give you an idea that you can also do some cooler stuff with this technique. I'm not yet going to make use of jQuery a lot in this JavaScript file. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make use of Internet Explorer 9 capabilities to add jump lists. You know, Internet Explorer 9 can add custom items over here in this jump list. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make use of the client object model of SharePoint to retrieve a list of all the lists and document libraries that are being displayed in the quick launch. And those items I will actually show as items in my jump list of the pinned sites in Internet Explorer 9 if I do that for my site. Inside this JavaScript code, as you can see, I'm making use of the client object model. If you've never seen the client object model, no worries. I will come back to that in just a second. I will just give you an idea of the result by redeploying and waiting slightly longer before hitting F5. So let's refresh my page, and I'm going to pin this site to my home page. As you can see straight away, we've got those very nice orange colors that will be added to the browser Chrome. And if I now right-click on it, as you can see, Internet Explorer 9 is now displaying, call it shortcuts, items in the quick launch, as I called it over here for my SharePoint site. So if I close all my browsers, all my browsers are closed. If I quickly would like to navigate to, let's say, the task list, I can click on it right away. And I will navigate to it. Automatically, when you create additional lists or additional document libraries, they will be added as items in those jump lists as well. Okay, just a small demo. I can leave it in. Let's continue with the slide deck, and let's talk a little bit more about some real-life scenarios related to making use of jQuery in combination with SharePoint 2010. And one of the things that you will be doing quite a lot, in my opinion, is making use of data that is stored in SharePoint in your JavaScript code. For example, you may want to load some tasks that have been created in a task list. You may want to get a list of all the documents that are created in a document library, that kind of stuff. And SharePoint 2010 has a bunch of opportunities to allow you to get to the data through some APIs, and make use of that data inside your custom code. Just like in SharePoint 2007 and SharePoint 2010, we've got the server object model, which, as the name suggests, is only available for code running on the server. So that is no option if you're making use of JavaScript, because JavaScript is running on the client, of course. In SharePoint 2010, we also introduced the link to SharePoint provider, which is, unfortunately enough, also only available at the server. So once again, no option for using it in combination with JavaScript and jQuery running on the client. But the top two APIs can be used by making use of client-side code. In SharePoint 2010, first of all, besides the server object model, we also have a new client object model, which can be used from .NET clients, which can be used from Silverlight clients, and which can be used from JavaScript clients, which is, of course, JavaScript code running inside the context of a SharePoint site, which can be jQuery code. And I will show you that in a second, of course, as well. Another API that you can make use of, also brand new, introduced in SharePoint 2010, is the REST API. Maybe you know some other sites on the internet that are exposing REST APIs. Think Twitter, Flickr, that kind of stuff. SharePoint 2010 also has a REST API that you can also make use of in your JavaScript code that uses jQuery, for example. First demo that I would like to show you that will actually get some data from a SharePoint site. Oh, sorry. Before I do that, one more slide. Client object model, that's the thing that I'm going to show you. Think of it as a layer between your JavaScript code and your SharePoint sites that will give you easy access to your SharePoint data. Good news for SharePoint 2007 developers, good news for SharePoint 2010 developers that already know the server object model. The client object model works almost exactly the same as the server object model. So you've got the same class names, you've got the same mechanisms. So it's very easy for you to actually make use of that new client object model. Let me jump straight away, I'm sorry, in a demo. Let's go here. You've already seen a couple of times me creating a new SharePoint project, adding a JavaScript file, adding a custom action to register the JavaScript file. I'm not going to do that again. I hope you already remembered how I did that. So I would like to show you the result at this point in time. So as you can see, this is once again a SharePoint project, which has a scripts module, which has a custom action that will actually register the script. See over here, client demo, clientdemo.js with an ID of 110. And if I open up the JavaScript file, we can actually see what's going on over here. See, not a lot of code. And let's start at the top. First, using jQuery, I will actually load till my HTML is being loaded in my browser. We're not going to make use of that is not yet there. But if you're going to make use of the client object model, you actually have to wait a little bit longer. You also have to wait till the client object model is actually loaded as well. What is the client object model of SharePoint 2010? That's a JavaScript file with a very exciting name of sp.js. And how do you wait for that file to be loaded? Well, SharePoint has some JavaScript functionality built in. It's called sp.sod.execute or delay until script loaded. And we're going to wait for this script to be loaded. If you're wondering what SOD is all about, that's script on demand. And that's like a namespace that's available in the JavaScript that every SharePoint site has. So what we're going to do is we're going to wait till the client object model is loaded. If it's loaded, we're going to execute this JavaScript function. And that is this function that you see over here. This is a structure that you will see popping up very, very often if you're going to make use of the combination of jQuery, client object model, SharePoint 2010. What's going to happen in this code snippet? Well, first of all, we're going to get a reference to what we call the client context. That's the context of, in this case, your SharePoint site. And the code that I'm going to make use of here is going to retrieve all the lists and the document libraries that are available on this SharePoint site. So I've got a variable that I call all lists, and all lists is equal to, the result of the method getLists of the getWeb method of my context. So you have to read it actually like this. From the current context, the current website, give me all the lists. And I'm actually going to load all those lists. Now, one important thing that you have to keep in mind when you're working with the client object model, which is a big difference compared to the server object model, is the fact that the client object model is always working asynchronously. So you cannot load synchronously data. Why not? Well, if you would do so, you would actually block the user interface. You will block your browser. And that's a very bad thing because the user can't do anything anymore. So as you can see, there's a method which is called execute query async, in which we have two callbacks, one for success, one for fail. What's going to happen when we fail? I'm going to display the message, could not load list data. If you want to, you can include the exception details, stuff like that. Of course, we're going to hope that we hit the onSuccess method. And in the onSuccess method, I'm going to make use of an enumerator that will actually loop over all the items that are being retrieved. Remember, I am retrieving all my lists. So for every list, I'm going to get the title. And once again, I'm going to display the title in an alert. I know this is not very exciting, but this is the bare minimum of code that you need to understand to be able to do some more cool stuff later on. So what's going to happen when I deploy this stuff? Something very annoying, I can already tell you. So the deployment cycle, once again, is happening. Deploy succeeded. Let's open up my SharePoint site. As you can see, there's now a dialog that is displaying announcements. The next one is displaying calendar. For the people that know a SharePoint team site, these are all the lists and document libraries that are available out of the box in a team site. I can go on, convert forms. Some hidden lists and document libraries are included as well. So this is actually very annoying because there are quite some lists and libraries, and I get these messages every time that I navigate to a SharePoint page. To make sure that I'm not getting crazy for the rest of my demos, I'm going to retract this small demonstration. It's important to understand that the dialogues that you saw popping up a couple of seconds ago were actually based on data that was downloaded asynchronously from SharePoint using JavaScript. And if you paid close attention in this JavaScript, I didn't show you any jQuery yet. I saved that for my next demo when we're actually going to mash up this piece of code with some jQuery code as well. So what are we going to do in my next demo, where I will actually extend this one? I would like to show you a pretty nice thing about jQuery as well, and that's the fact that it has a whole bunch of plugins. What are jQuery plugins? Well, jQuery plugins are very basically set additional JavaScript files that you can download pretty much everywhere on the internet that will typically add some very cool behavior to jQuery. You've got, for example, some plugins that will show you or that will allow you to create some very rich visualizations. You've got some plugins that will allow you to work, I don't know, with RSS. You've got some plugins that will allow you to work, I don't know, with JSON, that kind of stuff. If you're interested to find some very cool plugins, you can go to plugins.jquery.com, where there is a search and you can filter and you can see all the plugins that are registered over there. Now, what is the plugin that I would like to show you in a couple of seconds? Well, there happens to be a very nice plugin with the less exciting name called JQDoc, which is going to allow you to create some kind of a docked navigation. And what kind of docked navigation can you create? Well, for the people that have seen or maybe that have an Apple machine, they've got a pretty nice visualization of what we would call in the Windows the start or the taskbar with a hover effect. If you hover over icons, they get enlarged, that kind of stuff. It's also called like a fisheye navigation. Well, I would like to make use of this this jQuery plugin to allow my users to quickly navigate to content in SharePoint using this very rich, very interactive technique. And to show you that, I'm going to open up my demo code. Once again, you see the same structure. A scripts module where you can find, in this case, two JavaScript files. I will come back to those in a second. A custom action that will actually register those JavaScript files. And as you can see, I forgot to delete one that I'm not using anymore. What's going to happen over here? Well, first of all, you will see the JavaScript file that is being referenced, JQDoc. That's the navigation plugin that I'm going to show you. The second thing that is getting referenced is the JavaScript that I've wrote myself. If you would like to get an idea about that plugin, if you would like to see a lot of JavaScript code, this is it. Well, it's not a lot of JavaScript code, of course. Of course, nobody is going to ever read this. The more interesting thing that is going to happen, of course, is in my code. Okay. Top of my code, you should already know it. It's waiting for the HTML to be loaded, and it's waiting for the client object model to be loaded. This is the method that is being called when the client object model is being loaded. And the first thing that I'm going to do over there is, once again, I'm going to load all the lists and all the document libraries that are available in the SharePoint site. That's the same code that I showed you in the previous demo. I've added a little bit of options over here in the load method of my client context. This extra information is going to make sure that I'm going to get the data that corresponds with the title of all the lists and document libraries. If that list or document library is pinned on the quick launch of SharePoint, and I'm also going to get the URL of the default view, because I will need to have that one to allow users to navigate to it. Okay. Besides this, it's exactly the same as my previous code snippet, of course. What's going to happen when we have success? That's over here. Well, just like my previous code snippet, I'm going to get an enumerator, and this is a little bit of a special thing that's going to happen. Using jQuery, I'm going to generate some HTML in memory. So this is HTML. It's just a declaration of a pretty basic div with some widths and some heights, which is actually being displayed at the right-hand side of my screen. And I'm going to store this generated HTML in memory in a variable that I've called divke. For the Dutch people, that's like a small div. So what I'm going to do in this while loop, remember the while loop from my previous code example, I'm going to read all my lists and my document libraries. And as you can see, over here, I'm going to generate some more dynamic HTML. I'm going to generate an A element, which is a hyperlink, which has the href of the default view. Default view is being retrieved over here. Remember that on top I've included the default view URL. I get a nice image, and I set the title of that A element equal to my item title. That's retrieved over here. The result, so this generated dynamic HTML in memory, is appended to my divke. So in this loop, I'm adding more dynamically generated HTML inside that div element. If I would stop running code over here, so if the code at the bottom did not execute, you wouldn't see a thing happening inside the HTML, inside the results, the page, just yet. It's just being added, just being rendered, or not yet rendered, it's created in memory. When we've built that divke in memory, what's going to happen next? Well, I'm going to make use of some more HTML, which will include some styles that are being used in my navigation, which I will append to the head section of my page. I will define some options, and I'm going to make sure that I will enable the navigation effect. So jq-doc is a JavaScript function that is defined in the plugin that I downloaded. So the plugin that I downloaded is basically just one big JavaScript function. Well, probably a lot of JavaScript functions, but this is the one that you call. And when I've called it, I'm just going to append the divke to my HTML form, so it's being displayed inside my SharePoint page. As a result, if I deploy this thing, and once again, if we wait a couple of seconds, deploy succeeded. Let's go and I can actually use this one. And let's refresh my page over here. In a couple of seconds, it's already there. As you can see, at the right-hand side of my screen, I don't know if it's visible on the big screen over there, you've got some small icons that will actually correspond to the list and the document libraries that are being displayed on my quick launch. And the cool thing that will happen if I navigate over them, you've got that fisheye effect. And of course, if you click on Share Documents, you'll actually navigate to that document library, and after a while, once again, they will appear. So this may be considered as a non-intrusive way to allow users to quickly navigate to content that is available on your SharePoint site. You can argue, of course, well, you can't argue about style, but you can argue that this looks a little bit nicer than the boring quick launch that is being displayed out of the box at the left-hand side of a typical SharePoint site. And I hope I've been able to show to you that the amount of JavaScript code to actually accomplish this is not a lot. It's not very difficult because all the complexity is handled in, first of all, jQuery, and secondly, it's handled in that plugin that I've downloaded, the jq-doc that I showed you. If you would like to enhance this maybe a little bit more, you could retrieve different icons for the different types of lists and document libraries, so the user can actually see what's happening or what's going to happen when he or she clicks on any of those items. So this is maybe a nicer result that should give you an idea what you can accomplish by combining jQuery, SharePoint, and the plugins that are available on the internet. Okay. Cool. Let's close up some stuff. Let's continue. Another pretty common scenario that I would like to talk about is how you can make use of jQuery in combination with the dialogue framework that we have in SharePoint 2010. First of all, for the people that have no idea what I'm talking about, what are dialogues in SharePoint? Well, dialogues are, or they look like windows that are being opened on top of your default SharePoint UI to avoid postbacks, to offer a richer user interface. And they're used quite a bit just out of the box in SharePoint 2010. Just to give you an idea about what I'm talking about, if I navigate, for example, to this task list, if I click on Add New Item, you can see that I can add an item in this window that appears to be floating on top of my SharePoint site. This basically is just some HTML that is being displayed in the same browser window, but the UI paradigm, let's say, is the concept of a window. And as you can see, I can maximize, I can restore, I can close, that kind of stuff. Now, the very cool thing is that you can also create your own dialogues fairly easily. Why is that? Well, SharePoint 2010 exposes this dialogue framework also by making use of JavaScript, the same way using the client object model. And once again, this works great in combination with jQuery. The method that you need to know, the one that's key, is called, the namespace better that you need to get to know, is sp.ui.modal-dialogue. I will show you that in just a second. So, to give you an idea what you can accomplish with this, let me open up this demo as well. And once again, you're going to recognize, or at least I hope you're going to recognize the structure. If I close up those things. Once again, we've got the scripts module where we have some JavaScript. We've got a custom action where you can find the registration of that JavaScript. So far, nothing special. The only thing that you see that has been added compared to my previous examples are some other custom actions. And what are those custom actions going to do? Well, those custom actions are going to extend the out-of-the-box user interface that SharePoint has. What I'm going to do over here with this first custom action is I'm going to add an item to a thing that's called the Edit Control Block, or ECB, that's the abbreviation. For the people that have no clue what the Edit Control Block is, which is very well possible because, well, let's say the name is not that great. The Edit Control Block is actually, for example, this little drop-down menu that you can see on top of items in a list or in a document library. So the custom action, the XML that I just showed you a couple of seconds ago, is going to add a new menu item in this very drop-down list or menu, whatever you would like to call it. And we're going to start fairly easy. The first custom action is going to be titled Show Bing. I'm going to show it in all my document libraries. And what's going to happen if a user clicks on this custom action? I'm going to execute some JavaScript, and I'm going to call a JavaScript function demo dialog. That's a JavaScript function, of course, that I wrote myself, which is defined over here. The first JavaScript function that you can see over here is not yet making use of jQuery, but I wanted to make sure that everybody has an idea about how a dialog is being created inside SharePoint 2010. What's going to happen in this code? Well, first I will define some options. I will say, well, my dialog will actually show bing.com. Once again, not very exciting, but just to give you an idea. The title will be Bing. I allow maximization. I show close, and the width and height will be displayed. And this is the magic that's going to happen. I'm going to show a model dialog based on the options that I defined on top. If I deploy this stuff, when we wait for the deployment to be finished, what you will notice, if I refresh my page over here, in the drop-down, there is an option that says Show Bing. That's the result of that XML that I showed you a couple of seconds ago. Also, there is Show HTML and Get Link. I will come back to those later on. That's the rest of my demo. What's going to happen if I click on Show Bing? You will see a dialog that will show the Bing website inside my SharePoint site. This is, of course, not a thing that you would do in real life, but I just wanted to show to you how easy it is to create the dialog and to show that dialog inside SharePoint 2010. Now, this is a dialog that is displaying another page inside the dialog itself. Now, that's fairly well known, I think, among SharePoint developers. The second thing that I would like to show you is a technique to create a dialog that is not based on a page or a site being displayed in that dialog, but you can also build a dialog that is based on dynamically generated HTML. That's very nice if you don't want to go through the effort to create a custom page, maybe an application page or a site page that will be displayed in that dialog. And that's the second demo that I would like to show you. So I've got the second custom action, which is targeting the same edit control block. And now I call demo dialog 2. That is the JavaScript that I've got over here. Oh, that's better. See, this is the JavaScript function. Code is pretty much the same. I've got options. I've got show model dialog. But the difference will be that I don't have the URL option anymore, but it has been replaced with an HTML option. And the HTML option is actually a pointer to HTML generated in memory. We already know that jQuery can very easily generate HTML in memory. And I'm using that technique over here. See, I'm generating a div that says, hello, I am some HTML, and HTML is being displayed in bold. Put it in this variable, and I'm going to say that the HTML option will be used. One small detail, notice that to be able to reference this dynamic HTML, I need to make use of the indexer, which is in JavaScript used for an array, because jQuery always builds up arrays of items. So when you say dynamic HTML is equal to blah, 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 this is actually going to become an array in memory, and I need to specify that I would like to have the first item, so it is the syntax that I can make use of this. The thing is already deployed with my previous deployment cycle, so I can show you the results straight away. So if I now navigate to drop down over here, I say show HTML, you can see a very exciting dialog that is going to say, hello, I am some HTML. It's very important to understand that the HTML that is being displayed inside this dialog is not coming directly from a page. It's generated in memory, and as you can see, it's just displayed inside this dialog. And now you can do also all kinds of cool stuff. And some time ago, I was thinking about what would be a cool demo to show during tech days that will make use of this functionality. And one of the things that annoys me, and I wouldn't say all the time, but quite sometimes inside SharePoint 2010, and I'm very sure that many people have experienced this as well, as the following. You know, SharePoint document libraries are or can be used to avoid that people start sending emails that have attachments that are, I don't know, like 20 megabytes. What you typically do is you send an email that contains a link to a document that hopefully is stored in SharePoint. Now, how do you get that link of a document that is being stored in SharePoint? Well, typically you go as follows. I've got over here a basic document library with two documents. I say copy shortcut. But if you check out that shortcut, let me open up Notepad. You can see that's a pretty long URL. It includes the URL of SharePoint. And actually what you see over here is the URL that is being generated that will show this PowerPoint presentation in the PowerPoint web application. So it shows that PowerPoint application inside my browser. This is not really nice to send inside an email. Probably inside an email you would like to send a link that will open up the document directly inside the real PowerPoint application. So what I did, if I switch back to Visual Studio, I tried to solve this issue. The issue that is hard to get URLs pointing to documents in document libraries. So I've got my third custom action. Looks pretty much the same as the other ones. The title is get link. And we will call our custom JavaScript code that is this one over here. As you can see, well, it's once again not a lot of JavaScript code, but already slightly more. And let's find out what's going to happen over there. Well, the first thing is I will get a reference to, as you can see, the client context of the client object model. And I'm going to get the list that we're looking at this point in time by making use of the current list ID. And as you can see, the list ID is being passed as a parameter in this function. Where is this parameter coming from? Well, for doing that, for showing that, we need to go back to the custom action. And as you can see in the custom action, in the URL action child element, you can make use of what we call tokens. These are dynamic tokens that will be filled with the ID of the item and the ID of the list for which the custom action in the web UI is being rendered. So that's how you can pass the ID of the select or the ID of the item for which the user has clicked the ACB menu item. I'm going to build up a small camel query that will look up the information. What's the information that I'm interested in? I'm going to retrieve the encoded absolute URL. That's the full URL pointing directly to the document stored in the document library. Okay. We will execute the query async, and hopefully we will get in the success function. So besides getting a specific item using the client object model, once again, the code structure is almost exactly the same as the stuff that we discussed before. I'm going to retrieve that URL, and then what I'm going to do, I'm going to build up some HTML once again in memory. I'm going to start with a div element with a margin of 10 pixels, otherwise it will be too close to the border. Which border? Of course, the border of dialog, in which I will show this div in just a second. I'm going to add some more HTML to this div, long URL. I will actually have an input element of the type text in HTML that will be rendered as a text box. It will be nicely styled with a width of 100%. And I will put the value of the encoded absolute URL inside that text box. So that text box will display the full URL. Why do I pick the text box? Well, I pick the text box because the text box will allow me to quickly select the complete URL and copy it to the clipboard. Well, it will be clear in when I actually show you the result in a second. Some more HTML that will be appended is a close button. Okay, and as you can see, I'm going to display that dynamic HTML inside a pretty basic dialog. To finish off this thing, I'm going to show the dialog, and I'm also going to add an event handler for the focus event of all the text boxes that are found inside my div, so inside the dynamic HTML. And what is going to happen? Well, whenever a text box is being selected, I'm going to call the jQuery select function, which is completely going to select the text. I will show you in a second the end result. When the button is being clicked, the close button, I'm going to call the close method of the client object model to actually close the dialog. Let me show you the result already. It's already deployed. Remember, if I go back, what I can do now is I can click over here, get a link. You will see a dialog that is being displayed that will contain a URL. And if you put your cursor inside the text box, it gets fully selected. That's the focus method. And I can copy it. And if I use Notepad, you can see that this URL is still quite long, but it already looks a little bit better than the very, very long URL pointing to the PowerPoint web application that we had before. Now, if you're going to assume that your users will be running Internet Explorer, you can actually make use of JavaScript that will actually copy the URL directly to the clipboard. I leave that up to your imagination to implement as well. Now, in the, let's say, Web 2.0 days, this is, let's say you would like to share this link with Twitter, this is way too long. And there are some sites on the Internet that can even create shorter URLs. And one that that I use quite often is Bitly. So what's the ID behind Bitly? You give it a long URL, like this, and you click shorten, and they will generate for you a very short URL. So if a user enters this URL inside its web browser, it's actually replaced with the full URL that we use to create a short URL. And well, this is maybe even nicer to send out in an email. And wouldn't it be cool to include this kind of functionality just embedded inside SharePoint 2010 as well? And let me show you that this is very, very easy to accomplish. I'm just going to comment out some code that I've prepared. Inside the dynamically generated HTML over here, I'm going to add a second line with a second text box to show that shortened URL. And I'm going to call an additional function, get short URL, that will shorten the full URL, and I will make use of the result, which is actually a callback, and I will actually put it inside that second text box, which I gave an ID. What is that get short URL method going to do? Well, this get short URL is going to make a call to the Bitly API. So Bitly, that site that I just showed you, has a public API that you can leverage in your own applications, and it's a JSON API, which works perfectly, once again, with jQuery. So I'm going to build up a URL that includes the long URL, and the result that I get back is actually that shortened URL. And as a result, if I deploy all of this, let's refresh my page. If I now click on get a link, as you can see, I've got a long URL and I've got a short URL that will actually point to that long URL. So it's up to the user to pick either the long URL or the short URL. And maybe you noticed when you can watch very, very quickly, if I show that get a link, that initially that short URL is empty because the Bitly URL is also called asynchronously, so the dialog is shown while that we're waiting for the results to arrive from Bitly. So once again, I think a pretty nice result. Now, those were some demos that I wanted to show to you that are making use of the combination jQuery SharePoint 2010. And as you probably noticed, I've shown all those demos on my local SharePoint environment. But because of the fact that I used Sandbox Solutions to do all those demos, all the stuff that I showed you today can also be used inside the cloud in Office 365. And I happened to receive a beta invite for Office 365 a couple of days ago, and I would like to show you some of the samples that I've created this afternoon running inside Office 365 with SharePoint Online. So to do so, first thing that I can do is I can navigate to the solution gallery, my SharePoint Online site. See, this is a SharePoint Online site, sorry, Office 365, with SharePoint running in, where I've deployed, for example, the get URL and the doc navigation, including jQuery. And if I go, come on, there we go. This is an Office 365 SharePoint theme site. As you can see at the right-hand side, I've got that doc navigation that is in place. Also, if I go to this drop-down, my internet connection over here is not completely flawless, and I notice that if the internet connection goes away, in between that I click on the drop-down. Yeah. I'm going to give it one more try. Ah, there we go. And as you can see, now I can click on get a link, okay, or show Bing, there we go. This is basically exactly the same code running in the cloud. There was nothing that I needed to change. So that's, in my opinion, the advantage of making use of Sandbox Solutions, deploying to the virtual file system, and so on. Cool. Let's summarize everything that that I've talked about this afternoon. I hope I've been able to show to you that jQuery and SharePoint is actually a pretty cool combination. You can do quite a lot of stuff together with those tools and techniques and those products. Of course, I haven't been able to show you everything about jQuery or everything about SharePoint, but I would suggest, if you're interested in it, of course, to learn more about SharePoint and or jQuery. And to really finish off my slides, of course, if you would like to stay up to date with what's happening in Microsoft BLEX, you can subscribe to newsletters, and I'm pretty sure that many of you have already done so. And if you would like to well, watch again this presentation later on, it will be posted on Channel 9. And if you have any questions related to my demos or jQuery and SharePoint, feel free to send me an email or use the Channel 9 forum. I will monitor it as well, and I will try to get answers to the questions that you may have. That leaves me to thanking you for attending this SharePoint jQuery session. I hope I've been able to give you some good ideas. If you have any questions, feel free to step forward, and I will do my best to answer them. Thanks.